January the 28th, 2010. Living and dying with honor, Bible study lesson number 123. Within that, the special obedience to God and man, Bible study lesson number 35. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. We were dealing with the doctrine of the Adamic culture introduction in our last class on this subject, which seems forever to me, which we taught back on December the 23rd. We taught an hour of teaching on this morning, but you don't know that, and we'll be able to get it because the machine malfunctioned. We had a problem. It's a very hard of having to do things in a one-man operation here. And I'm not complaining with you, but we pray that the boy souls out. We plan to teach 2 hours. At least we can get in 1 hour of this and try to get the tapes in if everything works right, get the tape through this time of the Bible class. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit. And you have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Our God and Father, we thank you for the freedom that still exists within the United States of America, allows us to study and teach the Word of the living God. We thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. I pray you'll give us patience and grace as we study and teach. That you'll give us the strength to keep going. We pray for those that study under our ministry that you'll supply all their needs according to your abundant riches in Christ Jesus. We pray that you might raise up help that we could make a transition from cassette tapes to CDs, as we know that with people today have trouble getting the cassette recorders at all to continue to study and receive the tapes and use the ministry this way. We pray you say it in Christ's name, saying it is so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We keep praying about the hope of being able to make a transition. We lost a long-time taper because he no longer says he has access to cassette recorder. He can get for what he's doing for that. We realize that we're living in a more antiquated system, but we've gone through, you've got to realize we've gone through the reel-to-reel tapes to the been through four-track tapes, reel-to-reel sets for many, many years. At one point, we even had some of our teaching put on what was called, I forgot what they call it now, but it was half track or something like that, where you had two recordings on one cassette or something. I forgot how it worked now. But it's a while ago, that was with another. Someone else was handling all the stuff at that time for us. And the later cassette tapes, of course, have been consistent with us now for some almost 40 years. We're dealing with the cultural background and basis. The nations that exist in the world today. People are heroes. Good heroes and bad heroes. We're going to study some of those heroes along the way down there. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. The only thing that counts is the Word of God. It's not me and it's not you. It's not even our heroes. Sad day, a lot of sport figures are made heroes. They don't deserve to be heroes. Some people make politicians heroes. I've got heroes in military people. I've got celebrities I admired over the years that were great ball players. I love sports. Spirits are not a high priority. The spiritual warfare and angelic conflict, instead, they become a sublimation to many people to keep their eyes off the truth of what's going on in the world. We need to get our value systems correct. Then what we need to understand what happened in the Garden of Eden. That's why we're going back over this doctrine we've taught before. expansions upon it to try to get you to understand these things. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden." Well, I do not believe. I've never believed in many, many years, I should say, that this was a quick conversation thing that went on. Not at all. The serpent that we have here, the Hebrew Lachash, L-A-C-H-E-S-H, is the Greek form, is not a living reptile, because this is part of the divine curse upon creation for the serpent's role in Adam's original sin. Found Genesis 3:14. Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle and more than every beast in the field. On your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life." Serpents in the day still retain traces of the beauty their ancestors possessed prior to coming under the Bible's curse of judgment. The serpent in the Greek, Opus, O-P-H-I-S, was different from all serpents, i.e. snakes in the world today. It also was also known as a dragon, Revelation 12:9. Look at Revelation 12:9. Hold the place in Genesis. And the red dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, and he was called the devil, and Satan, he deceived the whole world, and he was thrown down the earth. And his angels were thrown down with him. The serpent, there in the Greek is Ophis, O-P-H-I-S. But he's also called the dragon, or the Drakon, D-R-A-K-O-N. Now, the modern secular and religious humanists would have us to believe that dragons were the mythological animals. When the Lord Jesus Christ testified in his apocalypse, his revelation to John, to the very existence by comparing him to Satan, who is a real creature, a real person. One of the original sons of El, spirit beings, with the dispensation of the sons of El, which we also sometimes call the dispensation of the angels. Satan is real, therefore dragons are real. The dragons spit fire out of their mouth. I doubt it very seriously. I wasn't there. But they existed. All scriptures God breathed is given for doctrine, teaching, for proof, for correction, for instruction, that the word of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. I am not going to take scripture literally and symbolically in the same passages because they violate the law of hermeneutics. Christ compared Satan to a serpent. The serpent was real, and he compared him to a dragon. The dragon was real. It's just we don't know what dragons were, because they're running around on the earth today that we can comprehend and understand. That's the difference. Scripture's to be taken literally. Too many Christians don't take scripture literally anymore. Not enough of it. They claim to do what they don't. I believe in the Bible, but. How can these things be? The just shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, not facing what the Bible says, not on what some human opinion or something is. The serpent became more subtle at this point in time because Satan went into it and drilled it. The wisest of all of God's created beings before the fall of Satan. Now, Adam appears not to have opposed any social contact with the serpent, even though some Bible teachers claim that Satan approached Eve when she was alone and Adam was ignorant of all the conversation. Scripture claims Adam was present and knew what was said, Genesis 3:6. Jump ahead for a minute. When the woman saw the tree was good, and it was alive in the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her. And he ate. 1 Timothy 2:13, 14. Thank you. Well, sorry. For it was Adam who was first created in Eve. It was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman, being quite deceived, fell in the transgression. Deceived. Adam and Eve sat down and Eve talked with Lucifer, Satan, the devil, inside the serpent over an extended period of time, as you will see. Now, Adam had observed and named all the animals that he had to know that serpents could not think and speak like a human, Genesis 2:19-20. Now the ground and our God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to man to see what he would call them. Adam named all the beasts of the field and named all the birds of the sky. And whenever the man called a living creature, that was his name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. But the animal was not found a helper suitable for him. Adam named the living creatures. At some period of time, the serpent asked Eve in conversation for how they went on a period of days, weeks, months, maybe even a year or two. At some point in time, the serpent asked Eve if the Father had forbidden them to eat of the fruit of the trees, fruits and vegetables found, or ever of the fruits and vegetables found in the garden. This is 21b. They said, "No, as God said, you shall not eat any tree of the garden." The serpent's first question was intended to raise doubts in Eve's soul concerning the word of God. As God said, God the Son has spoken to Adam and given him the mandate on the day he was created, Genesis 2:16-17. The Lord God commanded man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall eat, for in the day that you eat of it, from it you shall surely die." But in the Hebrew, "dying, thou shalt surely die." Adam had observed, examined, and named all the animals, so he had known that the serpent could not speak. And then had Eve talk to the serpent. The serpent says to God, and says to her, "Did God say?" Question, first of all, the implications there. Did God really say something? Satan to the serpent asking God, "Are you sure God spoke to them? Hath God said this to you?" Satan began his attack by raising doubts concerning divine inspiration, divine revelation. The logical deduction that you would be having social conversation with the serpent over an extended period of time because you came to trust it more than you trusted the teachings of the Son and the instructions of her husband. Next, Satan asked if God had denied them food, either all food or some specific food, while implying no such stipulation was given to the lower animals. Did God say you shall eat from the tree of the garden? The recorded discourse is short and abrupt, leading a number of Bible teachers to believe that Satan may have led up to this by introducing Eve to the concept of their being naked. This assertion of nakedness was an immediate byproduct of their sin. Christ asked them who told them they were naked, and God, the discussion of this had occurred between Eve and Satan the serpent. We do not know what all was said, we only know what God reveals to us of what was said. Eve took it upon herself to instruct the serpent in his spiritual issues. And she gave him a true answer when she said that the Father had granted permission to eat of any of the trees in the garden except the tree in the midst of the garden, Genesis 3:2-3a. And the Lord said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees in the garden we may eat. But from the tree of the trees in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall eat from it." Now, I want you to notice something. First of all, Scripture does not record any instructions to Adam to educate animals in regard to spiritual issues, so he was acting on her own initiative when she responded to the serpent. She starts trying to become a Bible teacher and instruct the serpent. Eve did not refer to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil by its name, but spoke of it as a tree in the midst of the garden. That she does not know the tree implies that she must have been standing and looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil at that time. There are two trees in the midst of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2 9. And out of the garden the Lord God caused to grow every tree that was pleasing in the sight and good for food, the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why don't you notice something? Well, one tree can be in the very center of the garden, that was the tree of life. It was typified Jesus Christ. The tree of life was in the middle of the garden. Is sick, they have been sitting with their backs propped up against the tree of life, looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To her, it was the center of everything. Eve had reached the point of her fantasy world where she was totally occupied with this tree, and she said it was the one in the center of the garden. He was unsurprised that by this time she had become fascinated by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She had no real interest in the tree of life. He went out into the word of God by claiming the Father forbid them to even touch the fruit or they would just fully die. You shall eat from, she says, or touch it lest you die. Now God never said, you shall not touch it. Not in Scripture. Not in Scripture. He was speaking out of turn. She's adding to the Word of God. She's eisegeting into Scripture what she wants to be. Now, she didn't have the written canon. She only had verbal communication of Scripture. Now, one of the reasons why I believe this was a long extended series of conversations is because she is now going to call God, Satan is going to call God a liar. Satan to the serpent called God a liar by saying that she would not die from eating of the fruit of the tree of this tree, Genesis 3, 4. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. The devil then told that eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would make her the equal of God and claim the Father knew this. But God knows that the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan implied that the Father had never loved them because he wanted to keep them in ignorance of many things. This truth is to your benefit. You will become the equal of God. You can be like the Creator God. The context implied that the serpent doubted that God would have given him such a prohibitive mandate. The Tower of Hercules added the words of a truth. The Tower of Jonathan, is it true? It appears that from the manner of Satan's contact with the demon carriers, he has raised the issue of how can a loving God forbid you to do something? How does he know what finite creatures need? How can he forbid you to do what you need to do? Well, you can be just like God. Just like God. Satan thus implies that human volition should be freed from all divine restraints. Satan is bound to Eve, the very thing that turned him against God in arrogance. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How have you fallen from heaven, O star of morning, the son of the dawn? You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High God. Satan sat down and said, I will make myself like the Most High God. The exalted star above all the stars of God, but he wanted to rule over all the solar systems of this earth. Now, when he said he would sit on the mount of the assembly in the recess of the north, this means he wanted to rule over all of the angelic convocations that were to be held. In human literature, the north indicates the abode of the gods. Thus, Satan was ambitious to govern the whole universe, but to sit in the over the castle of the assembly of all angelic creatures. As the castles assembled, as is taught in Babylonian worship of the Babylonian gods, which was the introduction of paganism after the flood by Satan for Satan worship. by Nimrod and his wife Semiramis. We've dealt with that in the past. He had the desire to bring him to God alone. He intended to become the equal of God. And then he would tell Satan, Satan would tell Eve that she could accomplish the same thing. Satan was saying in reality that the Father was holding Eve back from her natural potential to rise to the level of equality with her Creator God. Holding her back from her natural potential. The woman's liberation movement was founded in the Garden of Eden by Satan to promote the idea that a woman can become a goddess, that the Father is holding back the woman from her ultimate potential. How are you hearing this about a woman's potential? What they're going to do? A woman wants to do what the man can do. She doesn't want to accept the role that God has designed for. And I see this in Christianity all the time, and Christians don't have the guts, pastors don't have the guts to teach the whole counsel of God. Is this putting a woman down? No. Psalm 31 talks about the success of a woman in business without violating her responsibilities to her husband and to her children. Many wonderful things and the freedoms of things for a woman does within decency and in order, though, of course, with the Father's plan. And both male and female need to keep spiritual issues alive. The issue comes down. I parted with many of my biblical friends in modern days who are very pro-America. Because I believe that the only place a woman belongs in relationship to the military would be in the nursing corps. And I totally do not believe that women belong in combat. Under no circumstances do they belong in combat. Oh, you're one of those kind of people. I'm a person who takes the word of God literally. God told the Hebrew people in the wilderness in the book of Numbers, told Moses and them to put together an army made up of men, all the men, starting at age 20. Take the word of God literally for what it says. Even though the devil introduced the concept of women's liberation from the point of Eve becoming equal of God, it was also a direct attack upon the divine temple and the life institution of marriage. This conclusion is based upon the fact that Satan was usurping the authority of Adam to instruct his own wife in regard to spiritual matters from his position of headship. Now, Adam was authority over Eve already. It was not equality of marriage in that sense of the word, because Adam was the federal head and the authority. God created man in his image. And chapter 1, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In his God, he created man and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over everything that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be for you, food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and everything that moves on the earth. Said, life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. Adam was given the authorities. Adam was the federal head. Adam was created first. Eve was created in Adam. Authority belonged to Adam. He was given the federal headship. I received an email from a friend of mine many, many years recently asking me about Eve's part in the sin. He says, Eve committed sin. Was it sin when she ate the fruit of the tree of life given her? Yes, it was sin. It was sin because she disobeyed God, but it was a sin of ignorance because she did not understand the forbidden principles and what it meant. And it was the responsibility was to Adam. Adam was the head. So Eve committed the first, we could say, unknown sin. To her, it was an unknown sin. And when I know if we live not to him, it is sin. You don't know that she was not supposed to eat of the tree because she said she wasn't, but she didn't believe it. But she began to believe and doubt that God didn't mean it the way he said it because Satan challenged her and raised doubts. and we rebuilt the doubts. And the doubts created deception in her soul. And she became confused. Adam knowingly eat of the sin, but not Adam was responsible. The question was asked of me, well, if Adam had not eaten of the tree, what would have happened? I believe that Eve, having committed an unknowing sin, or lost her position, the way God would have replaced her with another, give Adam another life. I don't want to speculate on what Scripture doesn't say because it wasn't in the divine decree, so it couldn't happen that way. But I'm sure he would have offered her a mercy salvation on the concept of grace. Explaining to her that she needed to obey Adam, but there would have been no sin nature passed down because the sin nature comes from the Father, and Adam would have not sinned. Adam would have bore sinless perfect grace. We learn all this in the fullness of time and detail correctly. But the issue is Eve committed the first unknown sin. Adam committed the first known sin. Adam clearly understood. He was not deceived by Lucifer. The sin issue was with Adam. He was the federal head, the federal type. He answered directly to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the current promotion of the women's liberation versus the wife's commitment to obey her husband's own home in the United States throughout much of the world today is a sign of the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The rebellion is tremendous. I know several believers in Jesus Christ who go to one church and their wife goes to another church. My wife has told them they will go where they want to go. I know Christian women who have divorced their husbands. I know Christian men who have divorced their wives. I know Christian men who have committed adultery. I know Christian women that have committed adultery. Were they right? No, they were all wrong. But I realize that all of a sudden come short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no, not one. But all sin is against God, against the Lord, and I sin, and that is evil in thy sight. But I have trouble understanding how a woman will look at her husband and say, I do not respect you as my spiritual head. You have no right to tell me what church I'm going to go to. I'm going to go find my right pastor or whatever. I'm going to go to my church and either you go where I want, or we're going to go to church together. The separation is there in Christianity. God made the wife and is a wonderful role for the Christian wife. I've known some tremendous Christian ladies. And I bow like slaves in the home as a woman's lip cry, I would say, not all. My wife has worked out in the secular world all the years we've been married. For most of them. I've known Christian ladies who married stores, did all kinds of things. Successfully. I read Psalm 31, I realized the beauty and the qualifications of what a woman can do. And her the approval of her husband. Letting him say, okay, go ahead. But there has to be a system of authority. God is not the author of confusion. God set the man up for it. After the fall, it became a bigger issue. Because then God said to the woman, you will submit to your husband's authority. The woman, he said, I will, verse 16, chapter 3, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth and pain. You shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. All the curse is the insatiable desire of a woman to find her completion in her man. She won't find it outside of the man, the husband. In a relationship with a marriage. But the husband has to deposit his love in her soul so she can love him back. A woman is designed by God to be a responder to a man. The woman completes the man. This is a picture of sexual intercourse. It says in Jeremiah, the woman encompasses the man. The woman completes the man. The man fulfills the woman. That's what intercourse shows. The man penetrating the woman fulfills her. The woman covering the man completes him. And they shall be one, God says. And that commitment is a picture of our relationship to Jesus Christ and the unity of the faith. And we learn to think like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, Christ prophesied that life would reflect the days of Noah, the antediluvian world, and his second coming. Matthew 24:37. Matthew, hold the place here and go to Matthew 24:37. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. The trouble is, most people don't want to reflect the days of Noah down to the short period of time before the flood or something and don't realize what the days of Noah really are. The days of Noah are found in Genesis chapter 5. Hold the place for a minute. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created him male and female, and he blessed them and made them man. In the day when they were created, when Adam lived 130 years, this is 130 years after the fall, because before the fall he was not on the subject of death, so time did not count. He could not age. Don't ever forget that Adam could not age before the fall. When Adam lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and called his name of him Seth. Now I want you to understand the days of Noah. The days of Noah began with Adam. The days of Noah began with Adam in the day of original sin. Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. Seth was 105 when Enos was born, so Adam was 235. Enos was 90 when Canaan was born, so Adam was 325. Canaan was 7 when Mahalalel was born, so Adam was 395. Mahalalel was 65 when Jared was born, so Adam was 460. Jared was 162 when Enoch was born, so Adam was 622. Enoch was 65 when Methuselah was born, so Adam was 687. Methuselah was 187 when Lamech, the father of Noah, was born, so Adam was 874 when the father of Noah was born. Adam would live to be 930, so Adam was 50. Lamech was 56 years old when Adam died. The father of Noah was 56. The whole time between the fall of Adam and the flood is 1656 years. The Septuagint would stretch it out to 2,242 years, but that creates a problem that I do not believe exists. I believe that the Hebrew text is the correct text. In the 1,656 years, we have the Hebrew text, the Samaritan text, and the Septuagint. Now, so the days of Noah stretch from Adam in the Garden of Eden and the temptations to Eve and Eve giving Adam the fruit right down to Noah. When Noah came along, it was a culmination of things that were going on. Noah would not know Adam, but Noah, I want you to know something else now. Noah never knew Adam personally. He couldn't know Adam personally, but consider this. All right, the flood was 1656 years. Adam was 600 when the flood started. So Adam was born, as we said, in 1056. Well, Adam was born in 1056. And Seth 9 and 10:17. I'm sorry. And 10:42. Because Adam was 130 when Seth was born. Seth lived 912 years, so that's Seth died in 10:32. Or 10:42, I'm sorry, 10:42. So you realize that Adam's son Seth died 14 years before Noah was born. Fascinating concept. Noah's birth in 1056. When Noah was born, Enos was alive. Enos would live for 84 till Adam. Noah was 84 years old when Enos, the grandson of Adam, died. Cain lived to 1235. Mahalalel to 1290. Jared to 1422. Enoch had been raptured in 987, so he not only did not know Noah, Noah did not personally know Adam and Seth, but he did not know Enoch. But Methuselah died on the day of the flood. Adam was 600, so Methuselah was 1056 at the birth of Noah. And he was around to advise Noah. Lamech died 5 years earlier in the year of seven, his age at 777, seven is number of perfection of God. So understand, this is a very important concept. Out of the days of Noah, reach back to Adam in the Garden of Eden. And today it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. Today we have the great woman's lamb moment. We have rebellion in the land. That rebellion started in the days of Noah in the Garden of Eden when Eve usurped the spiritual authority that she had under her husband. Instead of listening to her husband to answer questions or writing down any doubts and questions she had, just give them to the Lord Jesus Christ or by keeping them in her mind or whatever. Could she read and write? I don't know, probably. Adam was a genius. I believe that Adam wrote, I've already told you, I believe that Adam wrote scripture. And then Moses brought that scripture in, and Moses is credited for it because he put it in the canon. We don't know about scripture. He don't prophesy. The people on the other side of the flood were geniuses compared to us today because the deterioration, the longevity of life, I should say, and the use of the brain in great ways by people created fantastic things. Shortly after the flood, the Great Pyramid was built in Egypt. One of the most fascinating things in the history of the world is the Great Pyramid there. Now, the Father never designed the husband to be a tyrant in the home. The Father's plan did not design the office of a husband to be a dictator's office, but to be a position for spiritual and temporal leadership in the home. The husband is to be a spiritual and temporal leader in his marriage, and he must function in love and grace toward the wife and lead by example, as well as by direction. He's to use Christ as the example today, because Christ is to the church as the husband is to the wife, so Christ becomes our example. As Christ forgives us, the husband and wife are to forgive each other. You have no right to hold anything against your husband or wife. Take it to the Lord. Turn it over to them and forgive them, forgiving others even also as Christ has forgiven you. The people hold grudges for years and years and years. The Bible says not to let the sun go down on our wrath. We need to adjust to these things. He was discovered, most likely by observation, the serpent eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was not poisonous, Genesis 3, 6a. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, Genesis 3, 6a, the woman was now looking directly at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, implies this entire conversation occurred in front of the tree. It's a logical deduction that she was occupied with this tree in her soul before she ever approached by the serpent, that the devil first spoke to her while she was looking at this tree. Satan's appeal to Eve by first introducing her to the good nutrition. He introduces her here to good nutrition. Now, we all need to eat nutrients. Diabetic problems cause us to be more alert to what we do and what we eat in our home. But we also are bound by the economic availability of food, economic schedules, times, and stuff. I don't eat, and I acknowledge I am not do not have the best eating habits. Teach Bible classes. I have to teach them early in the morning before it gets too loud and noisy around anymore. This whole complex has changed so much since we opened the office here in 1994. Of course, moved into the apartments in 1984. And things have changed. And we have to accommodate these changes the best we can. So I'm always follow the best nutrition. I realize that I do not need to eat a lot of sausage and bacon and things like that. But when I go out, usually if I get a chance to eat a meal in the morning, if I got one, so it's usually breakfast or something like that. I eat what I can afford to eat. I have a friend of mine that eats at McDonald's every day, him and his wife. On a very limited income. But another friend of mine that lived into his 80s that used to go to McDonald's every day and eat hamburger, a couple of cheap hamburgers, get him a couple of hot chocolate. He liked the hot chocolate drink. I didn't like it. He did. And that was his meal. I had the coffee when he was down there sometime to get a hamburger. But people have to do what they want to do. You read 5 Years to Freedom, the story of my hero friend of military life, Nick Rowe. Colonel Rowe. And you read what he went through in over five years of prisoner of war, 5 Years to Freedom, it's called, of the Viet Cong, held down in the south down there, the very deep south of Vietnam. The torture he went through and the problems he went through. And the food that he was fed. Rice, sometimes rice with a glob of grease on it. Rice, fish that were so small. You had to spit the bones out unless you could cook them yourselves and cook them almost to charcoal so that you could eat the bones. Suffering malnutrition, suffering nearly watching people literally starve to death in front of him down there. My friend Bryce Lilly, survivor of the Bataan Death March with the Lord Jesus Christ today also, the stories he told. Living on bowls of rice and all. None of the stuff that they need, working slave labor in the steel mills. Tears your heart out, but you realize something. We can't always go with nutrition. If they would have things to be nutritious, trans fats have been taken out of foods. The Surgeon General of the United States and people who run public service and the public health officers and the setup systems are issuing decrees all over America for what they think is right. What you can do. What's good for you. Nutrition is the issue. Pete Maravac, one of the greatest basketball players that ever lived, the greatest shooter that ever lived. Watch Maravac. Nobody shot like Maravac. He holds the records NCAA and professional football bowl. Pistol Pete, they call him. At 42, 43 years of age, they discovered when he died that he was born missing one valve in the heart. Got saved with the Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony I read. I look forward to seeing him in heaven, meet him one day. Mr. Pete Maravac. Had they been able to read the body the way they do today, would probably not have been allowed to play basketball, much less become the greatest shooter of all time. Little effect, but the physical activity, the physical body has become the issue. We're obsessed with it. Teddy Roosevelt was obsessed with it 100 years ago. Back at Yale, they started a thing where they used to take the pictures of all the boy students when they checked into Yale as freshmen. They had to pose nude for pictures for them. Kept the pictures, instead of still got pictures on file there, including the presidents of the United States in the nude. They were all about perfect specimens, perfect this, perfect that, perfect the other. When I was sinning, I'm sure, glory to God, this body is reaping what the old sin nature has brought upon it in judgment down through the years. And that's where we're at. Now, the appeal of Satan, first appeal to Eve, by introducing her to good nutrition. Eve next discovered that the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was pretty to look at, Genesis 3:6b. It was a delight to the eyes. Eve found aesthetic beauty in this tree, which the Father had designed and placed in the Garden of Eden as a test of positive volition to Adam. Satan secondly appealed to Eve by introducing her to the idea that outward beauty always represents something that is good for members of the human race. Some of the most beautiful women in the world have been prostitutes. Some of the most beautiful women in the world have became drug addicts and all kinds of things. Beauty is skin deep, as they say. Girl I went to high school with. Most beautiful women I ever knew, young ladies I ever knew. Everybody was in love with her. Just about every boy in the school was in love with her. She was a friend of mine. I'd known her. She was older than I was. She was not in my graduating class. She graduated before me. But I'd known her since playing football days in junior high school days and things in the group that was there down there. And I had read it one time in a crowd with some of the people that were 2 years older than me that she was one of. In the general crowd, a paid crowd, a little friendship crowd, a group of us that got together with. Or out, you'd say, today. I remember coming back from service, and I mentioned her to somebody, and he looked at me and he says, "Word's out, she's $100 a night hooker." If he used a more crude word for it. $100 a night then would be a couple thousand dollars a night today. Or better. Beautiful. I can't personally say that she was a prostitute. I was told that by some of the people I'd been with. I only saw her a few times after the high school days. I appreciate beauty like everybody else. I appreciate the beauty of a rose. My grandmother used to have clinging rose vines. Clinging roses growing up the side of the house there and other things. I love the beauty of roses and other things. I love the beauty of a 12-point buck, the beauty of an elk standing out on the side of a mountain with his green antlers up there. The beauty seen in a grizzly bear. The beauty seen in a wheat field. The beauty seen in an apple orchard with the apples are ripe, or peach orchard. The beauties of mountains and rivers and streams and valleys. Even the beauties of the dark swamp lands that I've been in down there in the bayous. Seeing beauty all over. But beauty and aesthetic value is not the issue. When the beautiful becomes ugly and the ugly becomes beautiful, culture is dead. Ulrich Varenne, the great philosopher of the 21st and 20th century, said. Art and stuff today is called beautiful modern art. I think it's totally hideous and totally ugly. Understand something. Satan will appeal to us to draw us away from God with ascetic things, with nutrition and with ascetic things. He found ascetic beauty in this tree which the Father had designed and placed in the garden to test the positive volition of Adam. Satan secondly appealed to Eve by introducing her to the idea that the outward beauty always represents something that is good for members of the human race. He then followed the information she received through observation to deceive her by producing a false hope within her. Verse 36c. And if the tree was desirable to make one wise, she became deceived. 1 Timothy 2, 14b. The woman, being quite deceived, fell in the transgression. She was able to observe that the fruit was not poisonous to the serpent when he ate it, perhaps to birds, squirrels, or other small animals. She was able to see that the fruit was actually very appetizing to the human eye. Then the scientists, since these two things were apparently true, that the serpent was free, was right, and this tree would make her very smart. He even had self-delusion and decided that by eating something created by the Father, she could become the equal of her Creator God. To reach this conclusion, Eve had decided that her Creator God was trying to deprive her of something very wonderful and very good for her. This conclusion meant that Eve accepted Satan's proclamation that God had lied to her when he told her that if she ate of the fruit, she would die. He then chose of her own volition to eat some of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and satanic evil. That's what I call it, the tree of human good and satanic evil. And she did so because that's where it is. All evil comes from Satan. 36d. She took from its fruit and ate it. She then offered the fruit to Adam, who was there with her, and had not attempted to stop her from eating it. Adam had totally abandoned his responsibilities there. He took the forbidden fruit and ate it. 36e. And also to her husband with her. And he ate. Adam was sitting there. There are three areas of Eve's deception. They're in the same category as the temptation those found in 1 John 2:16. Eve was deceived. Adam was knowingly committed the sin. Their sin was not more than merely eating forbidden fruit. It was disobeying the revealed word of God, believing the lie of Satan, and placing their own wills above God's will. So with all its dreadful consequences mattered to the human race and the world in general. Now look at 1 John 2:16 for a moment. That is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The pride of life is vainglory, displaying a boastfulness about one's possessions and one's accomplishments, about one's deeds, who they are and what they are. She offered the fruit to Adam, and Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The original son of Adam, he was present with Eve when she talked with the serpent. Genesis 3:6 says, also to her husband with her. He did not utilize his federal headship to arrest the serpent and hold him until the sun's normal appearance in the late afternoon, even though talking serpents were abnormal behavior. In Genesis 2:8, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man who had formed. Verses 15-18. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from this tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, the word keep it, cultivate it and keep it, the word keep it there is shamar in the Hebrew, means to guard. To be on military alert, to be watchful for it. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Eve was made to be his helper, not to be his leader. Verse 3, 8a. And the Lord heard the sound, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God, one of the trees of the garden. Never on the account of Adam dealing with the animal kingdom, where he named all animals when the sun brought them to him and gave them names, is there any thing to indicate that any animal has ever communicated with him? Genesis 2, 19 and 20. The Lord God and all the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, of the sky, and brought them to the man, and said what he would call them, and whatever the man called the living creature, that was his name. And the man gave names to all the cattle, and the birds of the sky, and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. Adam gave names to everything, but he found no partner for him. The animals didn't talk to him, the animals didn't communicate, the animals didn't satisfy his soul. The Son of God had got him to guard the garden, keep it, as we saw in chapter 2, verse 15, to cultivate it and keep it. And the word keep, Hebrew Shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, means to guard, military watch. He allowed Eve to take it upon herself to instruct the serpent in spiritual matters, issues, spiritual matters, even though he was the federal head of the race and the guardian of the garden. Genesis 3, 2, 15. We've already looked at all this. Christ put him in charge, or God the Son did. D, he did not correct Eve when she added to the word of God and said that they could not even touch the fruit of the tree in Genesis 3, 3. He sat by and kept his mouth shut. He did not take an overt exception to the serpent, calling his creator God a liar in Genesis 3, 4. Adam should have been infuriated. Adam should have seized the serpent, tied him up, and held him until the sun came in the cool of the day. Adam did not do that. Adam abrogated his authority. Two trees grew in the center of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and stood in contrast to each other. Until he convinced the tree of life stood in the dead center, and the other one stood slightly off center, because the tree of life typifies Jesus Christ. That would have made it the center. Eve would have had to go negative to the tree of life and occupy herself with the secondary tree there in the center, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in. The Son had given Adam unlimited freedom to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, and he may well have taken fruit from that tree for about 1900 years. He spent 5 years living alone in the garden during the age of innocence, the many age of testing of Adam on the law of individuality. Personal freedom, on which he was tested on through his volition, his privacy, responsibility to make good decisions, property rights, and accountability for the decisions that he made. He never made a decision negative to the things of God until he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The forbidden fruit was a special appeal to Eve, but Adam appears to have taken the fruit simply to please his wife, so Scripture says he was not deceived. He was not deceived as Eve was, and even eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil would not make them equals of the Creator God. 1 Timothy 2:13-14. Now think about this. Adam was not deceived, which meant he knew that they would not be the equal of God after he ate the fruit. It was Adam who was first created, and then Eve, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman, being quite deceived, fell in the transgression. Adam did not believe one single word spoken by the devil through the serpent. That's what 2:14 says. He didn't believe a word. Adam did not try to stop Eve from disobeying God, eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When she offered the fruit to him, he took it and ate it to please her without regard for the spiritual and temporal consequences. He surrendered his establishment of masculinity to cater to his wife's whims, and did so in direct defiance of divine mandate. For his poor decision, even his prodigy reaped the consequences for 6,000 years. We're still reaping it. 1 Corinthians 15:22, and Adam all die. Adam was the federal head. The authority was in Adam. Adam was the position of federal headship under direct verbal mandate from the Son, did not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not to eat of it. He was ordered not to. Genesis 2:17, God did not order Eve to not to directly. He taught her, I'm sure, instructed her in it. But it was Adam the mandate was given. But for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall eat of it. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The mandate was upon him. We'll pick up here in the next class. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise it will not return void, but accomplish what you designed for. In Christ's name we pray. Say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.